No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's
Thank
Rick.
You again for downloading and listening to the Rusty Satellite Show, the 38th episode, if you can believe it or not. We, on this show, bring in some of the most interesting people in the Ville, and this show certainly satisfies that mission. I have with me this week the one person from the world of arts and one from the world of business, and both highly interesting subjects. I'll get to those in a minute. First, I just want to talk about what a great week we're having here at the Rusty Satellite Show. Our a lot of things happening in Louisville. I have my top five stories of the week after our first interview, as always. Very interesting stuff going on in the worlds of politics, sports, media, and business. So anyway, that's what we got today. Our later in the show, I'm going to have a young man named Stacy Griggs, who is a technology entrepreneur. And one of the things we hear a lot about is, where are the jobs coming from for the new, you know, for the new business world? You know, where are these young people going to go to work? Where are the new companies? And a lot of effort is made by the city, by the metro government, and by the state to bring in businesses. And they're usually started by young men like Stacy Griggs. So just stay tuned for that. It's a good interview, really interesting guy. I'm glad I got to know him. But first off, we're going to have, I got to go down to Actors Theater this week. I've been going to, I've gone to two plays now with the Humana Festival of New American Plays. It's really a treasure that this city has, that this this festival plays and Actors Theater in general. So I wanted to get to the talk to somebody who had something to do with it, and I hit the jackpot. I got the artistic director, Les Waters, who is quite an interesting fellow himself. He I'll tell you, if you ever met him, he's got an interesting look about him. He wears Chuck Taylor Converse shoes all the time, and but he's a very talented man and gets a lot out of his work. A lot of people get their direction from him, makes a lot of very important decisions in the international theater community. So we're fortunate to have Les here in our city. And so let's get right on with here's my interview with Les Waters at Actors Theater.
Learn about the movers and shakers in the Louisville business scene with Startup, Conversations with Louisville Entrepreneurs. A new episode every Tuesday at Louisville.am.
And I am here today in the offices of Actors Theater, and I'm talking with Managing Director Les Waters. And Les, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Appreciate you having me up here. Boy, the Humana Festival is going on right now. I guess we're about halfway through. Your days are pretty busy, I guess.
They are. I mean, I directed a show that opened last week. I directed a play by Lucas Naith called The Christians. And three of the shows are up and running. There are another three to go. One opens at the end of this week, and then two the following week. Then there's college weekends with a lot of college students come in, an industry weekend where people from the business come in, and then the big weekend, which is April 4th, 5th, and 6th, when people from all over the world come to the festival. So it's people from this town and people from all over the world are here to see the Humana plays, and it's one of the world's great theater festivals.
It really is an international event, which impresses me that, you know, every time I go. But I think for our listeners, just give me an idea of what, you know, it seems like you wear many hats around here. What all does the managing director do?
Well, I'm the artistic director. And
I'm sorry.
No,
my
don't
fault.
Worry at all. I work in partnership with Jennifer Bielstein, who's the managing director. And I'm in charge of the artistic planning of the theatre. Not only the shows that are selected for each season in the Humana, but also shows that are in the future. So we commission new plays and we develop them. In the summer, we'll be working on at least three plays that will probably be in the festival somewhere between 2015 and 2017.
Wow. So you're playing years out.
Yeah. And I work with the writers and the directors and the designers and are involved with all the casting of the shows. And at the moment, my show's up and running, but I'm in and out of technical rehearsals, watching previews of the shows. It's a big job, and it's very exciting.
So during this period of time, I guess you come in the morning and you leave late at night?
I'm off. I think tomorrow I'm in to watch a run-through of Remix 38 at 8 a.m., and I would imagine I'll be leaving the building at midnight.
Wow. Wow, those are long days.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about your background. I know that you're English and you came to the United States. You have a very interesting, varied career. And if you could just talk about that a little bit and tell me how you got here to Louisville.
Well, I first started working in the States in the early 80s. I directed a show in London, which was invited to a theater festival in New York, and did very well, and then was invited by Joe Papp, who was the artistic director of the Public Theater in New York, to keep coming back and doing plays, which was enormously flattering. And, you know, I think I was in my late 20s, early 30s. I thought it was just good fun. and then I and my wife, Annie, and our three children left England 18 years ago, and we moved to San Diego, where I was teaching at UC San Diego for 8 years. Then moved up to Northern California, to Berkeley, where I was the Associate Artistic Director at Berkeley Rep. And then I've been here for 2 years as Artistic Director.
Okay.
But my involvement with the theatre began in 1999, when I did a show by Chuck Mee called Big Love at the Humana Festival.
Okay.
And then I came back in 2004 to do a piece about Butchertown called The Vanishing Point that we performed in an empty warehouse in Butchertown.
Okay. And then you came here. Now, what you seem to be thriving here. It seems like a good spot for you. I mean, do you think Louisville's just a good fit for your artistics or personality?
I like it here. I like it here a great deal. And for somebody like me, professionally, most of my work has been directing new plays.
Mm-hmm.
So to become the artistic director of a theater that is world famous for doing new plays is a real delight.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the new plays for a second. I know that, I've come for several years. I want to get to a specific one, but do these plays that they are birthed here, this is the first time they're performed, some of them go on to bigger and better things, or
well, some do. Some are very famous. Some of them won Pulitzer Prizes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, I don't know what the percentage is. I mean, I should know that, but I don't. A lot of them go on and have future productions in other regional theaters. Appropriate, which was a play here last year, is just about to open in New York. It's already been seen in DC and Chicago. So, the plays here are under an intense scrutiny and a spotlight from the national press, other you know, other artistic directors come in and see shows.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know this world, and I'm just curious. Is the ultimate is the major leagues to go to Broadway, or what would be the?
Well, it would be nice.
I guess so.
And Broadway, people know Broadway, but the desire and the impetus in the building is to kind of birth these plays and get them out all across the country.
Okay. Now, I went the other night to see the play you're directing, The Christians, and it just struck me that, given you're the one that selects which plays that air here, that you really, with that play and the other one I saw, The Partners, deals with same-sex marriage, this one deals with religion. I just was curious, is it, if you purposely select, you know, I don't want to say controversial, but modern topics that are real, you know, I think real people live these
things. Yeah, I mean, we don't select thematically. We don't say this year we're going to look at, you know, the food industry or entertainment.
Right.
We go off our passions for particular plays, but both The Christians, which deals with faith, and Partners, which deals with money and marriage, whether it's you know what, whether it's same-sex marriage, man and a woman, it deals with marriage, and they just seemed kind of interesting, important plays, and I think part of our job with a new play festival is to do work that says, well, this is what it's like to be alive now, this
right.
is what's happening in the world around us, and the plays, you know, just show it. I mean, I directed The Christians, which is we commissioned that play. Lucas Nath wanted to write a play about faith, and it takes no sides. It's, you know, everybody's point of view is equally valid. And in a community such as Louisville, I thought that would be a great gift to the community.
Right.
You know, the shows are entertaining and they raise a lot of questions.
And you mentioned that it's not really it's not really anti-religion, it's not pro-religion. You got any feedback, positive, negative, about taking on that topic?
Well, we've had a lot of feedback. I think there are a lot of plays. There aren't many plays about religion.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones that exist tend to satirize it. Not religion itself, but certain figures in it. You know, like there have been certain people in the past who have not come out of it too well. And this was, this is a play about faith, and I think some people have gone in feeling a little suspicious about it and come out of it very, very moved and very happy and very pleased with the theatre that this play talks about something that's central to many, many people's lives.
Yeah. It really, I think it's really moving and effective. So, so I haven't seen the rest of the plays. Give me some highlights, something that would encourage somebody to, I have to see that.
Well, you should come and see all of them. And the highlight is that there's also a locals theatre pass, which gets you, for $75, you can see five plays, which
okay.
I think is just a great deal. And they're from the plays are from many diverse voices and touch on, you know, a lot of subjects. And some are funny and some are not funny. Some are dramas and... they're all my children, and I think they're all amazing.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to ask you to pick a favorite or anything. I tell you what, here's a question I always have about theater. The thing that amazes me when I go in there, like a play like The Christians has a lot of dialogue, and the preacher has to, and the actors, I suppose, are so talented that they pull off these long pieces of dialogue without notes, without anything else. And I mean, is that just the talent that they have, or how do you get people to memorize so much dialogue?
I think most actors who are really good just think it's a very early part of their job that they have to memorize it, that they know it. Several of them came in with it fully memorized before we went into rehearsal, and they're workhorses. You know, my show, Andrew, who plays the preacher, would be in rehearsals straight through from 12 till 5 or 12 to 6, sort of with a 20-minute break in the middle of it, but would get in an hour ahead of everybody else and stay an hour after everybody else just to run the lines, just to go through the lines so that the lines, you know, were immediately available to him and we didn't waste rehearsal time.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it, but they can.
Yeah, it's really amazing, and credit to them. You know, and it seems like this is the last question I want to ask you about the festival. It seems like, I mean, the actors are on the stage, they're doing the work, but we don't, you know, it's not like the movies that, here's the star of the movie, here's Tom Hanks, you know, you got to go see it for him. It seems like the playwrights are really the thing that you're selling to the public, right?
That's right. The playwrights are at the forefront of it, and we hope we deliver great plays, but it's also crucially important to me that we deliver kind of great directors and designers and actors, because you can put on a great play, but without those people around it, it just looks mediocre.
Right, right. Well, it's a great thing for Louisville. We're glad that you're here, Les. Looking forward to the rest of the festival. Thanks for spending a few minutes with me.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
You love Louisville. You want Louisville when and where you want it? There's something new every day at Louisville.am.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
Les is a busy, busy man. He told me how much he's working this time of year, and I really respect that, and appreciate him taking a few minutes out of his day to talk to me for the Rusty Satellite Show. Now, one of those plays, that play that he directed, The Christians, you can find my review of that performance on LouisvilleKY.com, and I was just really impressed with the play and what it says. There's a lot of talk, a lot of people these days talk a lot more about religion and faith in our world, and a lot of people are, you know, it just seems like everything that we do in society is better known because of the internet, because people put their opinions out there, I just thought the idea that is presented in The Christians, if you go to see it, you'll know, the idea that if religion didn't have the fear factor going for it, if there was no hell, what would happen to religion and churches? And that's the central question of the play. It's fascinating. It's interesting. It's well performed. I'm really glad I got a chance to ask Les a few questions about that. So anyway, that's my first story of my top five for the week. And my second, I saw a story on WFPL by Philip Bailey this week about the Republican Party targeting African Americans. And you might think, well, that really goes against the percentages of blacks who are in supportive of the Republican Party is a small number, and there's a lot of big African American community in Louisville. I say it's almost like Obama, people who support Obama going out into rural Kentucky and trying to drum up support. There's just not much out there. On the other hand, one of the things in the story that was pointed out is that Rand Paul, who has presidential aspirations, has been courting the African American community. He's found some issues that really ring true with that group, and one being the voting rights for felons. Paul is out there as an activist, really supporting that issue, and as crazy as I might think Rand Paul is, that on that issue, I think he's right on that. There should be a process by which people who have done their time should be allowed to earn back their voting rights, and that just doesn't exist. So Paul has been actively courting, talking about that, made some appearances in West Louisville earlier this year, or that may have been last year. But, you know, really what the Republicans, you know, they do have an opportunity, but they're going to have to just come up with a message on like jobs and education and housing. Those are the key issues that the Republicans just don't have a great message. So anyway, the story was they're doing an advertising campaign. They put an ad in the Louisville Defender, the African-American newspaper in town. And so the Republicans are going after a part of the population. They've been generally weak in. So anyway, so you're wondering, that's my second story. My third story, wondering, you know, I seem to find something going on in the legislature every single week that is discouraging for me. It's basically the battle of rural ideas versus urban ideas, and the idea that everything that we want here in Louisville is something that is opposed by people out in the state. So this week we can announce the death of the idea of a statewide smoking ban in Kentucky. The sponsor of the bill, Susan Westrum, went to the governor, and Governor Beshear went out and polled some politicians, and this is what they do. Rather than vote so you know where everybody stands on the issue, that on controversial issues, they go out and they get a survey and they find out if they have enough votes or not in private before they bring a bill up for voting. And you know, the system, basically, Beshear came back and said, "We don't have enough votes. I've asked Democrats in office, and they don't have enough votes to get the statewide smoking bill passed." And really, it's one of the things you detest about politics. The quote that Beshear said, it would be, quote, risky for some people if this were to get voted on. It would be risky for some people politically. So out in the state where everybody smokes, you know, they don't want a smoking ban. A lot of progressive city, you know, most of this, there's a lot of smoking bans in municipalities and cities. Metro Louisville has one. But out in the state, you know, the people in the state Senate and the state House will, you know, they are worried that if they vote for something that is good for the health of our entire state, and that they'll lose politically. And so that is why we not only won't have a smoking ban, we won't even know who voted which way because of the way the legislature works. So quite a disappointment, but you know, that's sort of the way it goes in Kentucky. You know, I will say, just as an aside, I think the bill in Boone County to arm teachers, to put guns in the hands of teachers on the chance that there might be a school shooting, that seems to be dead, I hope. We'll see. But let's talk about some brighter stuff. My fourth story is something that broke late last week. It's big news for the city of Louisville. It really could change. It certainly will change the way downtown looks. If you didn't hear it, there was an announcement last Friday that the Omni Hotel, a huge luxury, international luxury hotel chain, is planning to build on the old water company lot a luxury hotel, a 600-room hotel. There's also talk of apartments. And for the first time, a lot of people are really excited about this, an upscale grocery store downtown. And, you know, the grocery component, it's one of the real missing links for residential living downtown. I think this project will really motivate a lot of people, like myself, to move downtown. If, you know, if they can pull this off and get the thing built and get it working, you know, that's really, really good news for downtown. This project was, you know, was announced. There's state money involved. There's city money involved. The Omni Corporation itself put in some money. Even Cordish, you know, a lot of people have a negative view of the Cordish company, going back to that giveaway that that Mayor Abramson gave them many years back. But Cordish is in as a financial contributor and will benefit from the success of this project. Being a couple of years before it happens, but you know, really to see a big building now that it's going on that water company block at Third and Ali. It's been a police station. It's got a lot of surface lots there, and was once considered the prime site for the basketball arena, but the waterfront site was chosen instead, and that was a big issue back when those decisions were made. So anyway, the Omni Hotel, it's a big project. You'll start seeing, I think the construction is scheduled to start later this year or first of next. So a big change for our downtown, a big victory for development. You can see a lot of the best reporting on that story is in Insider Louisville. If you want to catch up on that. So anyway, one more story to talk about on this edition of the Rusty Satellite Show. And of course it is March and the madness has begun. We'll probably be talking a lot about basketball in the next few weeks, but you know, at the current right now, as we head into the conference tournaments that are going on, if you're listening to this on Thursday, you know, the games are starting. The Southeastern Conference tournament, the AAC tournaments are starting. And, you know, at this point going in, you know, certainly the University of Louisville is on a high note. I don't know if you saw the game, the regular season finale against Connecticut. It was a big, big victory. The question a lot of my friends were asking me was, you know, depending on where this team goes, where does Russ Smith stand in the history of Cardinal greats? Will he have his number retired? Will he go down with Daryl Griffith and Wes Unseld and some of those players as one of the all-time greats? Well, I think if he leads them to a Final Four, the third in a row, that would certainly make a strong case for really honoring Russ Smith. If you were to have, like, say, the Mount Rushmore of U of L basketball, you know, he'd certainly get a spot based on that. If they somehow win the NCAA tournament, you know, it'd be a no-doubter. And that is a possibility. It looks like the Cardinals, depending on how the conference tournament plays out, but they're at least a 3 seed, possibly a 2 seed in the tournament. So this weekend, when you're getting your brackets together, it's going to be a big thing. You know, on the other hand, Kentucky is going to make the tournament, but the Wildcats are in disarray, I would say. John Calipari came out this week, said he tweaked something that's going to make a big difference for the team heading into the NCAA tournament, to which the people that like to make fun of such things have nicknamed the team the Untweakables. Ha ha. So there's a joke for you, for ammunition for you in the arguments to come about the NCAA tournament. It's going to be really, you know, there's going to be a lot of focus on basketball for the next few weeks around here, you know, especially if U of L and UK do well. So Sunday is Selection Sunday. So, you know, make your bets, do your brackets, you know, all that. Get involved in the tournament. And then a week from, you know, basically a week from today is the exciting first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament. So that is something to look forward to and something fun. And speaking of fun, that concludes my top five stories. I'm going to talk about El Toro, which is the company that Stacy Griggs started less than a year ago here in Louisville. It has an interesting novel approach. They have patented technology that involves advertising and reaching targeting advertising toward by geography, and that is a really big step forward. I think they're on the cutting edge of something that's really big. This El Toro company could be really big. I really like it. It reminds me of, you know, the old you know, the idea of the modern the cool tech company. You know, they got ping pong tables, or they got you know, there's beer available all the time and all that. Well, that's sort of what it is. Their office is in Distillery Commons. They've got plenty of alcohol in view. It's a big room where all the people that work there are in there collaborating. There are no private offices, anything like that. They've got a whole workout facility up there, and you know, it's a place where people like to have fun. I got the sense from talking to Stacy that it's a fun place to work and is really on track to be successful. So we'll see how that goes. I was happy to meet him. Also found out that, you know, he went to Doss High School, which is you know, was a rival of Iroquois back in the day, and when I was at Iroquois, and so we you know, that whole small town thing and where did you go to high school always seems to come up with people that are from around here. So I want to apologize in advance. The interview with Stacy kind of cuts off. I had a little problem with the equipment that was my fault, but it cuts off a little quick. But anyway, you'll get the sense of my conversation here with Stacy Griggs.
Hey,
And today, the Rusty Satellite Show finds itself in Distillery Commons, and I'm talking with a technology entrepreneur, Stacy Griggs. Great to have you at the show.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by.
All right, Stacy. Well, you were just telling me you're like a lot of people here in town, including myself. We grew up here. You went to high school where?
I went to Doss High School.
Doss? Yeah, really?
Southwest Jefferson County.
So, yeah, I know exactly where Doss is. I'll tell you a story about Doss later on. And you moved away, and now you're back. And yeah. And you have this really cool company. Tell me about the company.
El Toro is a company that has invented and patented a better technology to target internet ads. Generally, internet ads aren't very well targeted. What happens is traditionally to target ads, you would place ads on a site that had an audience you were looking for. So if you wanted to hit male sports fans, you would place ads on ESPN. If you wanted to hit females, you would place an ad on Pinterest. And you would make broad demography decisions based off of a site. In the last couple of years, targeting's gotten a little bit better because people have been cookied. Cookies are small snippets of code that websites plant onto your browser right. When you visit a site.
We always want to clear our cookies, right?
Right. You always want to clear your cookies. But using cookies, what's happened is marketers can say, well, you were shopping at Amazon for a red dress. I'm going to show you that same red dress again. It's called retargeting. So that's upped the game for what marketers can do. We've upped the game the next level, which is we've mapped about 140 million U.S. households to an IP address, and then we can place ads in front of those people based off of their IP address.
Okay. Ads. Online ads?
Online ads, yeah.
Okay. Because this is probably maybe off the subject, but I know it's in your bailiwick. You're aware. I saw the piece on 60 Minutes the other night, mm-hmm. where they're doing all this 1984 stuff, really scary stuff, and getting it list of people who have certain diseases or whatever that is. So that's not what you do.
No. In fact, we're big proponents that what a lot of internet marketers are doing is very anti-privacy and stuff that we're not supporters of. If you think about the whole cookie technology, using cookies, people can tell what sites you visit, what words you search for in a search engine. They can even match it to your name. All we know about an individual's household is we know this IP address fits this household. Any sort of data about the individual or their household is provided to Aspire clients. So a good example is if you're an auto dealer and you want to hit people that were previous customers of yours, instead of sending them a direct mail piece to their home address, you would just send IP-based advertisements to the computers at their home address.
To the sites that they visit.
Right, to the sites that they visit. We basically place ads in front of where you're going to be on the internet.
Okay.
So if you've ever clicked on a site and you see the content load first and the ads load just a fraction of a second slower,
sure.
That's because the ads aren't a known quantity until after you click on that site, because people are bidding on those ads. We buy ads in a real-time bidding network. It's very much like a stock market.
Okay. Now, your company's in Louisville, and that's great, and it's called El Toro, so I'm always interested. I think Rusty Satellite's a cool name. I think El Toro's a cool name. How'd you come up with the name?
So there's two stories. There's what I wrote in our blog, which is that we love the imagery of the bull targeting the matador, and I came up with a really cool blog post about it. The real story is that one of our people bought the domain name and paid a lot of money for it because he thought he'd be able to resell it. He wasn't able to resell it, so he said, this is the most valuable domain name I own, so we should be able to use it for something. We decided to name the company El Toro.
It's always good to know what the real story is with that. So you've got how long you've been in business, and you said you have nine employees already?
Yep, we've got nine employees. We launched 8 months ago. It has been a whirlwind since we launched. In most months, our business doubles month over month as far as revenue growth.
Wow, it's a good place to be.
It is. It's been great to be in a place like Louisville where we've got an ample pool of talent that we can hire people as we need to expand.
Okay. And now, tell me about like, who buys this stuff? Who buys your services?
Anybody who advertises, especially people that spend money on TV, radio advertising, direct mail advertising. You know, we view those as you know, less efficient ways to deliver advertising, TV and radio, because, you know, if your target population is one out of every 50 people, mm-hmm. to deliver an ad on TV or radio, you have to deliver it to 50 people only to hit that one person. And, you know, so there's a lot of audience loss in kind of going out to the mass market. Direct mail, you can target on a one-to-one basis, very much like you target our technology. Mm-hmm. But direct mail is, you know, typically in the 5 to 6 times more expensive than our technology range.
Okay. And it's paper.
Yeah, it's paper. Right. So, it's not very green.
I don't like any of that paper stuff. I've been railing against newspapers and all sorts of printed stuff for a long time. But okay, so all your people are young people. You're like, what, 22, right?
I'm actually 42.
42, okay. Look younger. You must be living right. Now, you talk about employment. Where are you getting your people from? Are they tech graduates? Are they all young?
Most of them have come from local universities. We've got a couple people that came from U of L, another one that came from one of the other local universities. Most of them are young. You know, this is a work hard, play hard type of organization. So we tend to attract people that don't mind working 10, 12-hour days and working on the weekends because,
you know. Hence the workout equipment and alcohol that I saw prominently displayed.
We have a full gym and a full bar, so we do believe in the play hard part of work hard, play hard.
Well, good. Well, Distiller Commons is a fun place to be. What do you think overall, outside of El Toro and all that, Louisville is a tech community. You moved back here from the Northeast, and do you find that we have the right energy? Are there other companies likely to come here? I suppose you picked it primarily because it's your hometown.
I picked it because it was my hometown. I had been involved in a company that was in the cloud computing space in Delaware, and we had sold the company. Mm-hmm. So I was looking for something else to do. And I had some friends that had a company that was in the cloud computing space here in Louisville. And they had been talking to me about coming in and working with them and joining their company. So came here. We built that company. We sold it to a publicly traded telecommunications company. I stayed on for about 2 years and ran that division, ran a group for that company. But, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I don't like being part of a couple thousand person telecommunications company. I like being able to make decisions and execute on them. And while the company was treating me great, I just wasn't having a lot of fun. So told them I wanted to leave, and then a couple weeks later hooked up with the guys at El Toro.
Okay. And so ultimately, El Toro is obviously, you must think it's going to grow. How big do you think it can be in terms of, I mean, are you hiring people right now to grow? Or?
We've got, you know, we've generally got a pretty good pipeline of people lined up, of people mm-hmm. that have worked for me and some of my partners in the past. You know, the easiest people for us to hire now are people that have worked for us in the past, that we know what they can do. They believe in us as a management team, so there's less of a learning curve. You know, we're not out, quote-unquote, advertising for employees right now. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say probably the next 5 or 6 are people that we already know, and we're just going to bring them in and convince them to leave corporate jobs and come to work for us, which to be honest,
it's
not a tough job. You know, they get to come here, they get to have fun, they get to build something, and be part of a company that has some pretty cool things going on.
And yes, I know I am not, I was interviewing a tech company, but didn't have, the tech knowledge that I needed to operate my recorder right. But anyway, we got basically the gist of what was going on with El Toro. Thanks to Stacy for allowing me to come by and see the operation out there. It was a lot of fun. And that's going to conclude another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. I really appreciate you, the listener, out there listening to downloading and playing the Rusty Satellite. Please spread the word. Know that we're here every week with more interesting people. I'd like to thank my sponsor, Passport Health Plans, for for making the whole show possible, and my good man, my good friend Dan Vonderhyde, who runs the operation here at Louisville.am. There's a lot of other great shows on the Louisville.am network. Encourage you to go to the site, check them out. Depending on what your interest is, there's plenty of stuff to listen to, like podcasts about beer or sports. So anyway, it's time to go out and enjoy this weekend, watch some basketball. And we'll be back again next week with another edition of the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city.
Time.